join us after our worship service. There may be a little bit of a gap until we actually get started over in Spartan Manor, but our banquets will begin with fellowship at 12:30. I don't ordinarily announce this in worship, but beyond, since you know, all they pretty much have over there is like water and iced tea and things like that, for those that would like some other selections, there is going to be a cash bar over there. So we will let you know that ahead of time so that you can plan accordingly. This coming week is our confirmation week. Next weekend at our 11 o'clock service, we have three young people that are going to be confirmed into the faith here at Faith. But before that happens, we have our I Believe Night banquet. It's going to be over at our Christian Life Center Friday evening. We're going to begin with the invocation about 6:30. We've only have three students to make presentations, so they won't have to take that long. It will not be a really, really, really long evening, but we have some special things for them. And we certainly, even in the face of what we're doing here today, we certainly don't want that to kind of be left off to the side. It is very important for each one of them. And then also, as a part of all of next weekend's services, according to the bylaws of the congregation, we have new officers that are starting in service and some that are continuing. So no matter which service you go to, we're going to begin, kind of like what we did with the shoes today, we're going to begin with an officer installation at each of those services. I've got some things here that indeed, there is a, on your way out, on a table, there are some brochures for our 2018 cruise. We're in a period of about 2 weeks right now where if you'd like to get your name in on something like that, all the directions are in there, even though some of them basically say, if you've got any questions, come back and see me. One person who's not going to be able to be with us this morning is Adele Burke. She is hospitalized at Bayonet Point up in Hudson. She had surgery yesterday. She had suffered a fall just a couple of days ago, and so we're going to remember that. And then we also want to remember our people, especially those that are having special celebrations. We always have to talk about those that are going through struggles, but we don't often. And I know that Mary Schoenick is here this morning, Jerry Brock is here, and Margaret DeBlasi is here. All of them are having their birthdays this week. So God's blessings to each and every one of you for that. Okay, let's continue then in our service then with the invocation, the confession, and the absolution. So we begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? Friends, we do bear that same burden of our transgressions, but we also know that there is nothing we can offer God that would pay the price for our sins. So we confess our sins to God in repentant faith, trusting only in his mercy for the sake of Jesus, beginning with a moment of silence. Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. I do not live the blessed life you offer me as I reject your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me that I may once again see the true joy of your salvation. God the Father loves us. His Son Jesus died for us, and through the Holy Spirit, we are guided to a God-pleasing life. For Jesus' sake and in his stead, I announce to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty God, you have promised to be with your church forever. We praise you for your presence in this place of worship and ask your ongoing blessing upon those who gather here. Dwell continually among us with your holy word and sacraments. Strengthen our fellowship in the bonds of love and peace, and increase our faithful witness to your salvation. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's reading from Holy Scripture are appointed for the third Sunday of Easter. We read from 1 Kings chapter 8. We pray that God's eyes may be open night and day toward his house as we offer up our prayers to him. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Now, therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, you shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me as you have walked. Now, therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God. Listening to the cry and to the prayer of your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer of your servant offers toward this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel, when they pray toward this place, and listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. The epistle lesson is in 1 Peter chapter 1. Jesus was made manifest for our sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead, the apostle writes. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, our hearts burn within us as Jesus opens to us the Holy Scriptures. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our Christian faith in a special way this morning, a portion of Martin Luther's Small Catechism, the second article of the Apostles' Creed. What is the second article of the Apostles' Creed? "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." What does this mean? "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true."
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an honor to be with you today, my wife Ellie and I, to celebrate your 60th anniversary as a congregation. I guess that takes us back to 1957, right? And also the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg Castle Church, wanting to discuss certain abuses that were done within the Roman Catholic Church and let the gospel shine and saw its purity again. It's great to be here. And when Pastor Wendt asked me, "Well, what's going to be the title of your sermon?" I read the Old Testament lesson, the epistle lesson, and the gospel lesson, and I thought to myself, I think a good title would be, "Thy Kingdom Come, Your Kingdom Come, Lord." That is the clarion call in the Gospels. Christ's precursor, John the Baptist, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And when Jesus began his public ministry, it was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God," or "the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it's the second petition within the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." And I've always been intrigued by the explanation of Martin Luther, who says, what does it mean? Well, God's kingdom will come even without our asking, but we pray that it will come among us also. And that's my prayer for all of us, that the kingdom of God will continue to come among us. What does it mean, the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God means the reign of God, the rule of God. Not over a territory like human kingdoms that have their boundaries, every country has its borders, but he seeks to rule in the hearts of people so that we relinquish control over our lives and seek to follow the Lord and to lean on him. And when that happens, the kingdom of God comes. May it come. The Old Testament lesson today is of that prayer that King Solomon offered up upon the dedication of the temple. David was not, his father, allowed to build the temple. It was left to Solomon. And it was a glorious structure. I mean, a lot of money was put into that place. A lot of gold. It was like a wonder to behold. And it was where the name of God would dwell. But Solomon also recognized that earth can't contain God. Heaven cannot contain God. Least of all, this place that has been built can contain God. I can't help but think of this beautiful sanctuary here. I mean, it is outstanding in its expression with the symbols of the faith. And when we were here as a family, it was between 1976 and 1982. One of the things that happened was that we renovated this sanctuary and asked the studios of Potente up in Wisconsin to come and design it, and we worked through that whole thing. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But what we have to keep in mind is that we do not worship this place, you know. Yes, God dwells here, but he dwells everywhere, especially among his people. For we are his temple. And whenever the facility itself becomes more important than the people who gather here, we're really off track. This place is only to facilitate the empowering of God's people to go out and do mission and live the life of Christ. I glory in this beautiful sanctuary, but much more than that are the people that are here. I think back to when I was privileged to be a part of the ministry here with Pastor Roy Lidbaum and his wife, Joel Baumlid. No, that's a joke. Somebody called her that once. I mean, he was just a wonderful person to work with. So pastoral, so caring, knew everybody's name. And he never ruled over me. He was in my heart and always will be. You see, when God rules in people's hearts, the kingdom of God comes. The New Testament lesson is an engaging account of what happened on Easter evening after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. These two disciples, Cleopas and the other one we don't know, probably it was Luke, it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, were on their way from Jerusalem to that little village east-northeast, about 7 miles away. And they were having a conversation, discussing what had happened, how this person that they had followed, whom they had really hoped would redeem Israel, was crucified. Couldn't believe it. But what was even more astonishing was the fact that there was this rumor going around, first promulgated by women who had gone to the tomb and it was empty. And the angel said, "He's risen." And they ran and told the apostles, the disciples, that was the case too. And how could this possibly be? So they were talking about this, and here comes this man and joins them, and he asks the question, "What are you talking about?" And they thought, what do you mean what we're talking about? Haven't you heard what's happened? Everybody's talking about it. And so they told him, and he said finally, look it. And they didn't even know who he was. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. You wonder, why couldn't they recognize him? Well, I think one reason is dead people don't rise. You know, they couldn't fathom that. Maybe it was just also that unbelief that sometimes hovers over us. They didn't know who he was. And when they approached the village, he sort of gave the impression that he was going to keep on going, and they begged him, no, just stay with us for a while. Their hearts were burning within them. And when they had supper together, and he broke the bread, they recognized who he was. Just like when we receive the Holy Supper, in the shedding of the blood and the breaking of the bread and the body of Christ, there he is. They recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. What do we get out of this? So many things, but let me just share with you a few thoughts. I believe that Jesus has always been walking with us along the road. Not just Christians, but all human beings, creations of God, that Jesus walks along with them. But the question is, do you recognize him? Do you know that he's there? Do you see him? Do your hearts burn within you? You know, that feeling like there's more to life than what I have and who I am. Do you recognize him? Just think of the people that you and I have met in our lifetime. Hundreds, thousands of people. But have we met Jesus as the Lord? There was this Christian couple that was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And the kids wanted to create the celebration. And as part of the celebration, they gathered together all of these pictures of people that mom and dad had met over the years. And they made a board game out of it. Each spot along the board with pictures of people that they had met, recognizing that along with all of these people that they had met, Jesus was walking with them as part of their life. Now, at the beginning of the board game is that first spot that says start. And at the end of the board, at the very end of the game, is finish, it says, usually. But the kids did not put finish. They put a new beginning. And when you recognize and trust Jesus as he walks along with you, it's always a new beginning. God has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for this congregation, whatever it is. But it's always about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who comes to forgive us our sins as we repent, acknowledge that we desperately need him, not as frosting on the cake, but as the total ingredients. And we lean into him, and our hearts burn with faith and trust. It's like these stained glass windows, you know. When you pull up from the outside and look at the stained glass windows, you can make out something there, but not a whole lot. But when you're on the inside and the light is shining through, wow, everything lights up. It's so beautiful and bright. And when God lives within our hearts and we recognize him, you can see the plan begin to emerge. I'm pretty dense at times. It's hard to see the plan. Maybe you are too. It's sort of like this sheet that I got. We were staying with the Millers for a few days, and Phyllis was sitting at the table outside on the porch. I said, what are you doing? She's playing, well, I'm playing Sudoku. Is that how you say it? And I said, well, I've never played. Have you done this? Some of you have, I'm sure. So she's going to teach me this. She took out the easiest sheet. I still don't get it. But I know there's a plan here. And as time goes on, it will be revealed. May it be for all of us. You see, as that happens, the kingdom of God is coming among us. In closing, let me share with you the story of the lamplighter. Now, this, you know, I'm an old man now. This is before my time. Back in the 1600s, 1700s, both in the United States, America, and also in Europe, where on the streets there were these lamps. This was before electricity. And the lamps were lit using a volatile fuel like oil or sometimes candles. And the lamplighter was the one who, in the early evening, would go down the street with his pole or ladder and get up there and light each wick so that it would shine throughout the night so that people could walk safely down the street. And then in the early morning hours, before the crack of dawn, he would extinguish all of those candles. Well, this lamplighter was a man who had lived not a very good life. He was destroying himself and the people around him. He was a carouser. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He drank way too much. He had his group of friends. But somebody shared with him the good news of Jesus, that life didn't have to be that way. And there was something yearning within him. And he accepted the Lord. He repented of his sins, and he trusted Christ. And his life was changed. Well, one of his buddies said to him, "You know what? I don't like this that's happened to you, because I don't feel comfortable around you anymore. We can't do the same things we used to do. I don't like it." And the lamplighter said, "Well, let me just tell you, friend, how I look at it. When I get up in the dark early morning hours to go out to extinguish the candles, I start and I extinguish a few lamps. And then I look back and it's dark. And that represents my old way of life. But I continue to extinguish them, and I look forward and I see those lanterns burning brightly, and that represents my future and the light of Christ and the direction that I'm going forward." And his buddy said, "Oh yeah." In fact, his buddy thought, "I got you now." Because when he said, "You extinguish that last lantern, it's all dark again." And the lamplighter said, "No, it's not all dark. Because when I extinguish that last lantern, the sun has already risen and the dawn has come." May the kingdom always come among us, folks. Because in the kingdom of God, the sun never sets and the dawn is eternal. Amen.
Friends, at this time, we will receive our offerings. If you have not yet filled out the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you, please do so. We will be collecting those at the conclusion of the offering. That's for both our members and our guests. Let us know that you were here today. So we receive our offerings. O Lord our God, how great is your goodness to all of your children. How good are the things that you have prepared for those who love you. How wonderful is it that we can dwell in your place, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, that we can bring forth the bounty of our offerings, the personal nature of each of our prayers, the load of our sins that are laid at the foot of the cross, and also a reminder to us that all of our praise and our thanksgiving that comes before you. Fill us with such reverence and love for you that through Jesus Christ we may obtain those glories which no human being has ever seen or heard or ever thought possible. Lord, in your mercy, accept our thanksgiving for his love to us, but who has been in your great mercy has been brought back to fellowship with him who is the keeper of our souls. For your forgiveness and pardon for all our sins, for the promise of peace and the assurance of your salvation, for your presence and power in all of our lives, for your love and mercy, for every gift and grace in Christ Jesus, we give thanks to you, merciful Father, and we pray that all of that you would have given to us, we would take and share with others. Lord, in your mercy, forgive your church as you have been with us, so allow us to serve you for 60 years, every blessing that it may continue to follow the example of Jesus, its Savior and Head. May we always seek the lost, lift up the fallen, strengthen the weary, rescue the straying, feed the hungry, help the suffering, shelter those who are in danger. And may we thereby proclaim your praises for calling us out of darkness into the marvelous light that you shine in the hearts of each of us. Lord, in your mercy, Direct our ways. Through the uncertainty of this age, O Lord, give us true faith, godly hearts, and prepare us always for the troubles of this life, whether it be sickness, strife, sin, sorrow, or whatever else is placed in our path. Be with us, O Lord, a special blessing as we pray on behalf of Adele Burke, who had surgery at Bayonet Point yesterday. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the help and the strength and the power that comes from you, that brings forth healing or the special gift that you can provide that they need in their lives, who we now name before you in a moment of silence. Lord, because our eyes have seen your salvation, as you have brought us to this day, let us go forward in peace. Let us always walk toward the light of your eternal glory, that one day you will receive us into the joy of life everlasting through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And friends, although this is a little bit before we usually do that, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. And for those of you that have only attended on Sunday, this is a song you may not have heard before, but it's a very special way in which we give the words of our Lord today.
Jesus took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and then he said, this is my body, given just for thee, do this in remembrance of me,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of of me.
Is not this the bread? Is not this the wine? From a simple loaf and the fruit of the vine. This is his body. This is his blood. This is his forgiveness and this is his love. Broken, poured out, broken and poured out, all for you. Broken, poured out, broken and poured out, all for you. Truly I will say, his presence is so real. When we come together and join in this meal, when you eat this bread, when you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Broken, poured out, broken and poured out, all for me. Broken. Poured out, broken and poured out, all for you.
And before we conclude with our service, we'd like to ask boys and girls to come up here. They've got a couple songs that they're going to sing for us. And while they're on their way up, our Faith Factor just sang four songs, and three of them are out there of songs that you've probably maybe have heard before listening to Christian music. But the third of those four songs was actually written by our guitar player, Larry Zimdahl, and he has written actually a number of pieces that we use on Saturday night. So we're grateful for the talent that we have in this congregation that they're willing to share. And by the way, this while they're still coming up here, it's a good way to say we're still looking for people to join this group. So if you'd like to be a part of it, come right on ahead. Okay, boys and girls, I think we're ready for you now.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in morning, Jesus sent in time. Jesus, Jesus.
We conclude in our service folders now, and as I just told the children, I'll have the children remain seated, but I'll have the rest of you please stand. As we pray together, oh God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves you and grants you his everlasting comfort and good hope through the gospel, as he grants you the Prince of Peace, grants you his eternal peace at all times and in all ways, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, let's have you stand again and help us with that final song, and all the people said amen.
You are not alone, if you are lonely, when you feel afraid, you're not the only, we are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you've got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need, and all the people say amen. Whoa.
Before we set everybody on their way to Spartan Manor, I almost forgot this here. There were some folks that, unfortunately, through some health and conflict issues, had to give back a couple tickets today to our banquet. And I wanted to point this out that, hey, if there's anybody out there that doesn't have your tickets yet, well, I have two here. They're yours for the taking. And if there's anybody else after that that come up, just come on over to Spartan Manor. We will, because we're going to be taking care of things a little bit later. So even if it wasn't in your initial plans, add it to your plans today. We'd love to see it. It's over on Massachusetts. We'll start over there in about an hour. So, friends, while it says go in peace and serve the Lord, I think we got one better. And all the people said, amen. May God's peace be with all of you. Thanks for joining us, and special thanks to Pastor Lentner today. We appreciate it. Thanks also here and here and to all of you here. Thanks for joining us today.